This is Hannibal Burris. You listen to the Handsome Rambler Podcast number one. People were asking me, why do you have a podcast now? Why so late? It's never too late. It's never too late for now. I figure everybody else got one. I got access to microphones and bandwidth and the ability to put things up on iTunes, SoundCloud, and other audio mediums. Why not me? I have a great voice, and there's some people out there that may never see me live. This is what they can get. So this podcast is for you, fan listening in Madagascar. You know, probably not going to tour there. Probably not doing gigs in Madagascar. What? It's podcast. The Handsome Rambler. Why do I have a podcast? It is. Because why not, man? Why not? I'm seeing all these people change their lives, or they use it as therapy, or they just get to work on their voices, feel unfiltered thoughts, getting all access look into your comedian psyche. Or maybe I'll play characters. What if I do it like it's an old-timey radio show? You don't know what I'm capable of when I'm left to my own devices with a microphone. It's a different time now. Comedians used to try to get radio jobs, and some still do. You try to get on the radio station, and now everybody's just, I can do my own radio station. So I wanted to be a part of it, man. Plus, I'm trying to, you know, read that ad copy for Bevel. Who's the other ones? It's the mailing company. Stamps at home and some shaving. And go check out movies. Gamefly. I want to read that stuff. Check me out. Giftcards.giftcards. Go to gift art. Here's my audition to read ad copy. Go to giftcards.giftcards. Are you tired of when your gift card? Are you tired of just getting a gift card and then having to give somebody a gift card? Well, go to giftcards.giftcards. Well, we'll gift card your gift card to the gift card. Get 20% off your first order with the code RAMBLER.
That's a good idea. Gift cards for gift cards.
Yeah, gift card. Gift card dot gift card. Well, we give a gift card for your gift card. No more gift cards for you. So yeah, I decided to try it out. And I saw what it's done for Bill Burr. He does his podcast. He's be selling out shows in Slovenia. And good for him. And it's just him most of the time, just talking. You know how many things you have to have going on in your mind to just talk straight up? I'm already ready to end this podcast. Maybe they had the 3-minute podcast already. And I don't want to interview my friends. I don't want to be the, hey man, come do my podcast. I don't want to ask people to do the podcast all the time. That's what some people told me. They quit their podcast because they got tired of asking people to do their podcast. His booking is tough. That's where Bill Burr wins. It's just him. Is this a podcast about podcasts? Is this the podcast about nothing? Where it's just, we talk about podcasts? No. Got other shit to talk about. Oh, no. Did I just lose sponsors by saying shit? We at giftcards.giftcards have withdrawn our sponsorship of the Handsome Rambler podcast. We heard Hannibal say shit, and we don't. That doesn't represent our values over here at giftcards.giftcards. We wish Hannibal further success in his career and endeavors. Do people never say endeavors are always somebody else's, right?
And endeavors?
Not by definition, but just the way we use the word is what I'm saying.
Well, it could be yours, like I'm going on an endeavor.
No, people it say good luck with your endeavors or his endeavors. You never like my endeavors. It sounds too grandiose.
Like you're being cocky, like I'm about to go.
My endeavors. You're gonna be a part of my endeavors? But oh, you gotta check out your endeavors.
But it's an attempt to achieve a goal.
I know.
An endeavor to reduce serious injury.
Oh, maybe I'm just making up stuff about words. Usually endeavors, we wish you the best, good luck in your future endeavors. It's usually used like that.
Like kind of like...
You don't care about my future endeavors? Nobody ever says it. It's never possessive, really. I don't know.
You know, you could use it as a word. Like, can you use it as like...
Endeavoring, as a verb?
Yeah, endeavoring. I'm endeavoring to be a podcaster.
I'm endeavoring to be a podcaster. I'm endeavoring to take my career to the next lateral movement.
You are endeavoring to get your ticket sales up.
I'm endeavoring to be the best actor of my generation. Sometimes I watch movies or television. And then I'll see an actor doing an eyebrow thing or a facial twitch or tick. And I say, ooh, I'm going to use that. But then I never use it.
It's important to have good eyebrow technique.
It is.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I see these great moves from actors and I think I'm going to remember them. That's tough to remember. I can't just... That's a lot of pressure to put on my brain. Hey, brain, remember... Hey, remember when Tyrese kind of smiled but grimaced at the same time? Put that in your repertoire. And I say, yeah, I'm going to do that next time I'm on camera if it fits the situation.
But you ever just, like, practice in front of the mirror or something? Like,
try to facial get expressions?
Yeah, just, like, in the mirror, like, look at these eyebrows at work.
No.
No?
You know what I used to before I became a comedian, I would just it was something wrong, but I would just be in the mirror sometimes like just doing weird shit in the mirror, just performing. It was before it was obvious that I needed to be a comedian, but I didn't know it yet. But I was just like just making weird ass faces in the mirror, making noises in my dorm room. I do remember that, yeah.
Well, you need to get back to your roots, man. Start doing that.
Get back to my mirror-looking roots.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Back here in Chicago, chilling in Logan Square. I was coming to... I was going through the back entrance of Tony's apartment building. And I'm walking, about to walk up the steps... And your neighbor says, can I help you? She don't even live in the same building.
No, she doesn't.
She lives in the next building. Your building's got different owners, correct?
Yeah, and they're detached. They're not connected.
Detached buildings. I'm walking up these steps. Not even up the steps yet. She's like, can I help you? And I was kind of in the zone, so I was thinking about something else. And then I look over and she's like, can I help you? And I just said, no. I said, no, you can't help me. Because she couldn't.
Yeah.
But that's not the answer. See, well, I knew where I was going. I've been there several times before. And she, can I help you? Because they want you to say, I don't have to explain shit to you. No, you can't help me. Let's go. Oh, some people were sitting on the steps at the... That has shit to do with me. Shut up. Same thing happened at the Zany's in Nashville. few months back, they got the side door where that leads to the green room. And so I walk up to it and I'm knocking. I try to open the door first, it's locked, and I'm knocking on the door, and the guy is the security guard for the parking lot. He's about 20, 30 feet away, and I'm knocking on the door. He's like, "Can I help you?" And I just say, "No, you can't."
Well, most people would say, like, "No, I'm okay." But I'm going to start using that.
No, you can't help me.
No.
The person who can help me is on the other side of the door. You can't help me. You out here doing outside shit. I'm trying to do inside shit. You can't help me. Leave me alone. Can I help you? No, the person I'm knocking, that person can help me. The person who hears my knock, you can help me. Stop talking to me, please. You're making me uncomfortable. Walked up on me and shit. I'm just trying to get out of here,
man. You can help by minding your business.
You can help by minding your motherfucking business. Can you help me? Yeah. Do you have an Adderall and a Cialis? Then you can help me.
Yeah. Say that next time.
Yeah. That's sure. What I'm going to start saying. Sure.
Sure. You got some Adderall or Cialis? Yeah, you got some.
Can you help me? Sure. I got this tenant that is really pissing me off. Oh, man. So, yeah. And you know what? Actually, when she asked me that, I blew it off. I was waiting on, you weren't here yet. I was waiting on the steps. She said that to me, and she asked me if I could help, needed her help. I said, no. And then she said something about stuff going on in the neighborhood. Oh, somebody was sitting here. I'm just trying to make sure. And I just let her say it. I was kind of stoned. I was chilling, whatever. You know, it set me off. I'm standing there on the back. And then she goes and takes a picture of my license plate. Mind you, it's pouring rain. It's pouring. And she went and got wet to take a picture of the license plate, the Florida license plate on my rented Mercedes. What are you? And then I asked her, I said, was it worth getting wet for? This is when I kind of flipped. I said, was it worth getting wet for? She's like, I'm just trying to make sure you know there was somebody sitting on the porch. There was somebody sitting on the steps. Like, what are you talking about? I'm just trying to be, I haven't seen you. Well, I've been coming through here for the past few years. If you was as nosy as you've been now, you would know that I'm over here. I'm just, say just, you know what? Just shut up. Just, and like, you're taking fake pictures of license plate and shit.
You know, she lives by herself. She's not the best.
I can see why. I can see why. Either somebody left her, or she just made somebody so upset they died.
She's a lonely woman, man. You know, she
need to get a Twitter or something.
She's just trying to make some human contact.
That's no. No, that's not the right. It's what I was walking with purpose.
But you know what it is, man. People that are lonely are usually people that are the most concerned with other people's business.
Yeah.
So you got to give her that. You know, like. She's a lonely.
But
she's a lonely
what if? Is it?
Because if you're having a great time and you're fucking killing it and you're doing your thing, you ain't worried about somebody walking up some steps.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
Can I help you? What? Also, what were you about to do? What answer? What does she think? Like,
yeah, let me pick
the help. I'm about to, I'm about to, yeah. I'm
about to rob this motherfucker.
You hold this? Like, what does she think? What does she think? Huh, I know this is getting intense for you guys, so we're going to take a quick commercial break while I get some money. Oh, SeatGeek. I like SeatGeek. I use SeatGeek sometimes if I'm in some random town and I want to go to the basketball game. And I want to get tickets last minute. I go to SeatGeek, get me some seats to watch like a geek. Ugh, gross. I also go to SeatGeek and check out how much my scalp tickets are going for. It's a good tool. So I see, oh, what they're going for? Oh, somebody's selling my tickets in Cincinnati for $500 a pop. Very ambitious. They don't know the market well. Anyway, SeatGeek, the app, is a great aggregator of all the third-party ticket salespeople in the world. Get cheap tickets. Get a good deal. They give you deal rates. Get it. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter my promo code, Rambler. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app. It's free and enter promo code Rambler. R-A-M-B-L-E-R. Today. Just been kicking it. Back here in the shot on a break. Just got back. Doing a couple dates. Baltimore was lively. It's a great time in Baltimore.
Baltimore was interesting.
Baltimore, good vibe.
Yeah.
In the Meyerhoff Symphony Hall. There's a good energy in Baltimore. Only jokes that didn't go well were my new Tony Robbins jokes that I tried to do.
Baltimore wasn't feeling the Tony Robbins jokes?
I don't know if they're new just so they're not there yet. This is my first time trying them. I haven't tried them in a comedy club or anything. I just was excited about them and wanted to see how they work, and they weren't there yet. They need a little tinkering. So yeah, been on the road, man. Baltimore was live. Richmond was fun. Was supposed to we had a good time in Richmond. I stayed an extra day in Richmond. Just to chill and not travel.
Yeah, how was that? Because, you know, I was surprised by Richmond. I didn't think, it was funny too, because I saw this magazine in my hotel room that said, Richmond, is this the new Austin?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You had a good energy in Richmond, man. There was a...
It was a little artsy. There was some young youth culture. Yeah.
It was a good...
It was surprising.
I didn't get to hang out with that many people, but let's just say... In Richmond, my Instagram DMs were aflame.
Well, there you go.
I kicked it there. Extra day. It was raining most of that day, though. And found out Steve Agee was in the same hotel. He was filming something down there. Steve Agee, comedian, was on Sarah Silverman's show. He played... Him and Brian Posehn would date. Ran into him and grabbed some food, talked some talk. And on the way there, I walked past this because it was Richmond Folk Festival, which is a big musical festival for the city. And so there was lots of events going on around us. And on the way to the restaurant, I walked past this clothing store, but they had bands or DJs going on in there. And I was like, oh, that'll be cool. That'll be fun to check out after dinner. We have dinner. I say, Steve, let's go check this out, man. And we walk in. It's, you know, like, man, whatever, 50 people, something like that in there. And it's some decent music. So I'm standing there. Somebody speaks to me. Like, oh, welcome. And then some dude is super hype. Hannibal, love us. And then the whole party kind of turned around. And looked at me. It was the most uncomfortable thing I've had. It was, you know, people speak or I've been at spots.
It's like everybody stopped what they were doing.
Everybody kind of turned because it was people were facing the music.
Oh.
And then a huge group of people kind of just turned around
and
were looking at me.
Oh,
and it was like,
shit.
It made me super. I was.
That
anxious.
Sounds like some shit in the nightmare where you just like, and wake
it
up.
It was almost, you know those bits where people, the scenes where people walk into a bar and the music cuts off?
Yeah.
It was like that. Where everybody was just looking at me and it was just, I had never been in. Like that was the most
like the band
uncomfortable.
Just, like the drums just kind of fall out and then the guitar goes, bang!
Yeah. Duh, I was so, it was just,
So what did you do? You just kind of was just like,
I talked, a few people came up and talked to me, and then some people asked for pictures, but I didn't because I could see where I was going to go. And I genuinely wanted to see the music, but I just dipped out. It just was that uncomfortable. I really, usually yeah. shit
yeah, you gotta
settle
bounce.
Down. Yeah, and it was no, it was a clothing store, so there was no bar to yeah. dip to. It was no, yeah. it was super.
It's like, I noticed it's like a snowball effect too with the pictures. Like, because you'll be, we'll be at a spot chilling, and then everybody's trying to keep it cool. And then once they see you take one picture, then you got like just 20, 30 heads on
well,
you.
I think
like,
also people don't usually recognize, they don't clock me right away because I look regular and shit. One time I, but it's just certain spots you don't realize where you can't go until you go there sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's certain spots, you know, a dive bar, you, I go somewhere.
Yeah.
It's, shit ain't gonna happen. Whatever. It's, you'd be able to chill. Dude, in Savannah, when we were filming Baywatch, I kicked it at a couple spots during off days that I sort of liked while I was there. And Zac Efron, we all had dinner. Zac Efronesh and John, a group of, a decent group of us. And I was like, oh, let's check out this bar. Savannah's Hughes College Town. So we pop in this spot, this one spot, and when I tell you, chicks just swarmed Zac Efron. And it was just a different, I'm like, oh shit. And I felt like an asshole because I suggested that spot. Hey, we left out of there. He had to run to his car, and it was a block and a half away.
What?
Chicks were chasing
what?
Him down the street. And I said, oh shit, my bad. I didn't.
I mean, Zac Efron, he's a handsome guy. I mean, it's going to happen.
Big movie star. Happen. But that was, I never seen that before. Chicks yeah. chasing, yeah. going,
yeah.
chasing him.
That's next level, man.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm like, oh, can't go to that spot.
That's got to suck to just not be able to kick it at just a random dive bar because people are chasing you.
Definitely,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you're wanted by the government or something. People are always chasing you around.
Yeah.
DC. Let's start at DC. Tell me about DC.
Well, DC, I get this email on, let's say, September 29th, September 30th, asking if I wanted to be a part of this South by South lawn event at the White House, on the White House lawn. And so I'm reading it, oh, White House lawn, all these VR installations, tech stuff. The White House bringing these ideas together, and Obama be there, and these bands are performing. And I'm thinking at first, because I just skimmed the email, I'm thinking I'm getting invited to perform in the White House lawn. No, it's not the case.
I was super excited about it, too.
I was misled. I was misled by myself. The email clearly said that I'll be performing at the after party. At the W across the street. Yeah. But the event was cool. Got to be on the White House lawn. Ran into a couple people I've seen before. Saw Black Girls Code there. They had this cool installation where you try to get a computerized ball to go through a maze. And it was fun. I was on an Adderall, so I got kind of focused on it. And then I let it go after about 3-4 minutes because I didn't want to monopolize anybody else's experiences. Wait, that's not, I didn't say that right. You know what I mean? I didn't want to just keep that shit and keep people from doing it just because I was enjoying myself. So I stepped off. Saw some VR stuff. It was a long day. I think we got there about 2 o'clock, 1:30.
No drinks.
No drinks. I wasn't drinking that day anyways, but I can see why people were upset about no. But you can't. Obama can't just have a couple thousand people drinking on the White House lawn.
I mean, you can have a little bit of some wine.
I don't know. You got media types. You got nervous types. People nervous that they on the lawn anyways. So people are going to overdrink to deal with their anxiety. And then you got a bunch of drunk weirdos on the lawn. You can't have somebody vomiting on Secret Service shoes.
That's why you invite responsible people.
You can't trust everybody to be responsible day drinking on the White House lawn. People get so hyped up. Anyways, so it's a long day. You know, I saw the stuff I was going to see probably within an hour. Now it's 5 hours until Obama comes up. And so I was thinking, I'm like, man, that's a long time. I don't know if this event really has what it takes to hold me for 5 hours. But then maybe I should leave. No, because there's no in and outs. No in and outs at the White House lawn.
The worst part.
You can't just dip and bounce back. No. So you're there. And I was thinking about it, but then I haven't seen the president live before. And I ran into Rembert Brown, great journalist. And we were talking about it. Who leaves early? You can't leave early and miss the president. That's just trying to be too cool for school. You're right. What was I thinking? What was I going to do anyways at 7:30 in D.C.? Something involving the internet, room service. I don't think I could have topped it. 7:30 in D.C. I don't think I could have topped watching the president. Tony Trim, on the other hand. Tony Trim.
You got to bring this up, man.
Tony Trim leaves early, apparently to go work on the teaser for this very podcast. The 60-second audio file didn't go through when we sent it earlier. And so they were bugging Tony about it. And so I got to leave. All right.
I was making a stand, like Colin Kaepernick.
It's not a stand, man. Come on, dog.
No, I will not stand for the injustices of this event.
Nobody listening to this will side with you. You left the president speaking with Leonardo DiCaprio. You left at like 5-ish, too. Obama was at 7-something. You left at 5-ish to go work on an audio file.
I just take my job very seriously.
Oh, man.
You hired the right person.
Listen, man. This is the first podcast, and this is coming in later than anybody wanted it. But you know what? It's sometimes you got to just figure out the right inspiration, what to talk about. Anyways, Obama. I digress. Obama hits the stage with Leonardo DiCaprio and another person to talk about climate change. Then they were talking. It was a panel. This woman was very well informed, and Obama kept referring to her as Catherine. And I remember reading the program before and looking online. This person was a doctor. Like, why isn't he saying doctor last name? Why do you keep calling her Catherine? Like, wouldn't he say doctor, maybe? Here's my theory. It may be wrong. That doctor's full name is Dr. Catherine Hayho. And I feel like Obama didn't want to be recorded saying Hayho over and over. That's what I think. This dude only has a few more months left in the presidency. He's not going to, on his goodbye tour, he's not going to let CNN have video of him saying, hey ho, Dr. Hey ho over here has a lot. Oh, the research that Dr. Hey ho.
Hey ho.
Hey ho. There's no way. Hey ho. There's no way to say it that it doesn't sound offensive.
That's a very unfortunate name.
Hey ho. She probably married into it. I wonder if that's her name or if she's married.
I don't know.
Hey ho.
By the way, it's very unfortunate.
Doctor,
hey, you think she would have married and took Hey Ho? I think if anything, she would get married to get rid of Hey Ho.
I don't know, man.
That's a rough one.
But you know what? That also, it had to. It all. At what point did Ho become a part of the vernacular? Because it hasn't been since she was born, or while she was a teenager, that wasn't the case. They would just talk about their neighbors, like, oh yeah, the hey hoes over there. The hey hoes, it was said. But then is
short for whores, basically, right? Hoes, whores. Right? Isn't that where that came from?
I think no. Yeah, it's short for whores.
Yeah.
But when did that really hit? I feel like that hit in the 70s or something.
Probably back then when trim was still popping.
So trim.
Trim. Like have you
petting?
Has your older uncles ever say that to you? Like, you out there getting some trim? Like, I love when people say that. That just sounds so dope. Anyways, hey ho.
Yo, one time I went to a party. There would be these stripper parties.
Yeah.
Sometimes on the west side, mm-hmm. somebody have a house or an apartment,
mm-hmm.
and then they would hire a bunch of strippers, and it'd be kind of like an underground strip club. And so, bunch of guys come through, people got their singles, sometimes it'll be one of the dancers' houses that put it together, sometimes a random promoter, and it's just an underground strip joint. It's a party, there's drinks, people could dip into a side room and do whatever. I remember I went to a couple of these when I was a teenager. And I'm not gonna put out who I was with.
It was a high school?
Yes, I was in high school. In high school or my freshman year of college, I think. This might have been my freshman year of college that I went to this one.
Okay.
So I'm still like 17 or something, 17, 18. Mm-hmm. And the two cats I was with, or one of them, I think the party got broken up, or everybody got kicked out, like something happened, and the host kicked everybody out.
Uh-huh.
The person I was with, we get outside the party, and they open their jacket, and they're like, I took all the CDs, and they had taken a stack of CDs.
Jesus. Did you get some good CDs?
I don't remember, man. I just remember being shocked.
Yeah.
That this dude just took all of that, man.
A bunch of CDs.
That was one of my... It was a cousin's friend. you just took all the CDs? Holy shit. So ever since then, whenever I go to somebody's house, I steal something significant. And now I steal too. I steal all the time now because nobody suspects me of stealing. I'm like, what? Nobody thinks I'm stealing.
You don't steal.
Sure. Listen, man, you don't know. Of course, exactly. Exactly. Of course I don't steal. You're right. I don't steal. I would never steal. Why would I steal? That'd be stupid to steal from my friends that welcome me into their homes. Why would I do such a thing? Stealing was fun when I was into it, though.
Stealing was everything. Every
was
boy,
that rush,
every boy,
man.
Yeah, every boy went through the stealing phase.
Oh, that rush!
But then
the rush. You ever been caught?
I was caught, and then I was like, it was a Walmart. I was caught at a Walmart, and I was interrogated. But I did one of those stealing moves where I like grabbed something. And just like walked out, and then was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I paid for it. I forgot to pay for it." One of those kind of moves.
Yeah.
And so they took me in one of them back rooms and interrogated me. And this is back then. I was younger, so I didn't have an ID. They're asking for my ID and call my parents, and I'm like, no. It's like, but they were bluffing. They weren't gonna call the cops. So we just kind of sat there, back and forth. Who, where you live? What's your phone number? I was like, no. They're like, you better not come back here. If I see you here, I'll call the cops. And it was that. And after that, I was like, yeah, man, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, other than that, I would steal cigarettes because I couldn't buy them, but that was out of necessity.
Not necessarily necessity, but I get what you're, I get what you're saying. But yeah. I used to be into it. Like we used to steal.
Like straight boost stuff?
Steal, not boost, nothing of significance. Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever stole something that had a price tag more than like $40 on it.
Okay, so you never committed grand theft?
No, I just stole little things lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
Candy.
Yeah, I was going to say candy.
Belts. I remember being very excited about stealing a belt.
Felt like you just put it on and
walk
out?
Yeah,
because
you just put a belt on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a classic one. Yeah.
I remember
just try this on real quick.
I remember when I stole a belt from Marshalls.
Yeah.
In the Brickyard.
Marshalls was the easiest to steal
I
from.
I just went in, I put a belt on.
Yeah.
And then left.
Just left. Them motherfuckers don't get paid enough to care, you know? They're just like, whatever.
Yeah, man.
I remember people, I had homies that would go to the Marshalls and literally go in there wearing like the biggest, baggiest clothing they got and take a bunch of stuff, go into the changing room, throw it all on, and then just walk out looking like a snowman. Like, no problem.
Yeah.
Marshalls is the easiest to steal from.
Yeah.
They don't care about that merchandise.
Dude, me and my crew in high school would go to, it was Clark Gas Station right by where my parents live. And there was a couple cashiers that didn't give a fuck about their jobs at all. They didn't give a shit, or they didn't care about us stealing. They just said, we can't control, you know, because they might have bulletproof glass anyway, so they got to either run from behind there, or they got to call something. Like, the way it works, it's just, it's a tough crime to... So we would just go in there and clean up candies, juices, sunglasses. And it got so crazy, at one point, we had a stealing contest. We had a contest.
Where we
all went into the store, stole as much as we can in like a minute and something. And then we all went back to my boy David's crib.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all pulled out what we had.
Just to calculate the values and stuff.
Count it up.
But would you calculate the value? Like, so this one item cost $20, so this is way better.
I mean, we had got the price tags.
Oh, yeah, well, there you go.
It's candy and bullshit.
Yeah.
But I remember who won that day. It was this cat, Kevin.
Yeah.
And Kevin won because he had stole a bunch of sunglasses. And we were mostly stealing candy. And seriously, Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah.
No integrity at all, stealing sunglasses.
9-volt batteries.
Yeah, he was a crafty dude. CISO. S-E-E-S-O is the new ad-free streaming service bringing you hilarious original series, hand-picked classics, weeks of stand-up specials, and more. Every single episode of Saturday Night Live ever is on CISO. Every episode ever. You can see the episode where I got my one sketch on the Charles Barkley episode from 2010, season 35. The Barkley golf sketch. It's not that great, but it's all good, man. Yeah. British comedies. You got the original Office on there. The entire Monty Python catalog. The It Crowd. And Steve Coogan as Alan Partridge. Yes. Discover the next big names in comedies. And watch the icons before they made it big. Like Louis C.K., Hannibal Buress, Chelsea Peretti, Amy Schumer, Bo Burnham, and so many more. I'm just reading what they put down there. I didn't write this stuff. CISO is ad-free, and it is just what? $3.99 a month. That's cheaper than blank or the other one, and it's cheaper than the other one and the other one. And right now, my listeners, try CISO for free for 2 months when you use your promo code RAMBLER. RAMBLER. That's a fun word to say. RAMBLER. R-A-M-B-L-E-R. RAMBLER. Yeah. Oh, yeah. RAMBLER. Check out CISO.com.
Two significant things happened yesterday. Yom Kippur and the Cubs won against the San Francisco Giants. So it's a very significant day for me and Jewish people.
You were really into the Cubs game.
I was really into the Cubs. It's been an exciting season.
You yelled so much at the game, I was wondering if you were playing a character or if you were on drugs. Well, you've done it twice at watching the games.
You know, I'm
sincere. You don't get hyped like that at the game, though. You keep it cool at the game.
Yeah, well, you know, because I'm in my comfort zone. I'm around my friends, so I could just kind of wild out. But yeah. at the games,
you'd be like, just, yeah. I'm good baseball, guys. Good base running. I'm willing to say I'm a bandwagon fan. I'm a bandwagon fan, man.
That's all right.
Guess what? Now, Cubs are doing their thing. I'm into the nuances of baseball, and I haven't been before.
And it's stupid for anybody to hate on that. It's like, yo, this guy enjoys watching a team win. Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's great. Also, they've been winning a lot, so I've been betting on them most of the time, and most of my bets on the Cubs are because they don't lose that much.
There you go.
I think I maybe made throughout the season. I wasn't betting as much, but throughout the season, maybe made 14 bets on the Cubs and only maybe 3 lost, I'm guessing. So thanks, Cubs, for helping me have a simple, stupid man's profitable baseball betting season. Thank you so much to Theo. Thank you to the Cubs organization. Ideally, how crazy would it be? White Sox Cubs World Series. That would be crazy.
That would be insane.
That would be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I want that in my life. You think that would happen in our lifetime? No.
Nah.
You think that would happen in my lifetime and not yours? Because I'm getting into some cryogenic next level, live forever type shit. I'll let you know the email of the guy if you want to know.
Okay.
It's that new shit.
Oh, you're for real. You're being for real, right?
Yeah, you
now.
Put yourself in a chamber.
Okay.
You kind of, I'm trying to go to 150. I really want to see what they're doing with video games by then. Is that weird? That's my main, that's a real thought of mine. Is being 70 years old and wondering how that year's version of NBA 2K is going to be. How dope is 2K? Which means that I'm not thinking great thoughts. I'm not using my brain power to its maximum. Or maybe I am. And that's what I really want to think about is how good video games will be 27. Because when you're 70, 70, 80, I guess our presidential candidates are both pushing that. Well, Trump's 70, Hillary's about to turn 69. But 70 for me in my head is just kind of chilling. Maybe you got some grandkids
or
something.
But you
got
to think about the deeper issue with the video games. It's no longer going to be video games because it's getting so close to virtual reality that by the time video games is morphing into a different kind of reality. It's becoming this tool where you can like exercise with it, or you could probably do simulation training with it and stuff. It's like gonna go from video games to straight up virtual reality and altering it. So I don't even consider it video games anymore. It's gonna get to a level where it's not even games. Like, it's not Nintendo. It's not a little plumber running around hitting bricks and collecting coins. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no. Virtual reality definitely is becoming huge. And
so what makes a video game? You got controls and a screen, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you're going to have with virtual reality. You're going to have controls with a screen on your face.
Yeah. So still video games.
I think it's going to go beyond that. I think it's going to be like immersed reality where you're just like in this different world and you can just go journey through jungles and do crazy shit. And that goes beyond video game. That goes into like you can go on a safari.
For NBA 2K, it's still going to have to be those. There's going to be those type of games where you are in this world and you go through this stuff and you swim and you do these actions and such. But some games are gonna kind of
still be shooting motherfuckers in the face.
You shooting, or you gotta press a button to pass the ball, or maybe you move your hand forward.
You're actually playing ball,
but you can't do that as all five people. So either you beat one person, or you controlling all five.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It'd be fun to play a game with your friends, like in a virtual, or you could just get a ball and go to the basketball court.
So. Writers at The Handsome Rambler and tell us at The Handsome Rambler, thehandsomerambler@gmail.com. Tell us, what do you think video games are going to be like 54 years from now? I'll be 87 then. And by 87, I mean not around here anymore. All right. Yeah. Oh, it's ad time. Hey, you're unique. You don't live life like anybody else. You don't walk around like anybody else. So why is your mattress for anybody else? Because a custom, truly, you're unique. You're unique. Everybody's different. We're all different snowflakes. You don't walk like anybody else, talk like anybody else, or sleep like everybody else. So why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a truly customized mattress that costs you $5,000 to $10,000. Until now, go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and they'll run a 3D biomechanical model of your body through the proprietary algorithms they develop with the help of the world's largest ergonomics and biomechanics experts. The result? The most comfortable mattress you've ever slept on. Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. And for couples, they customize each side of the mattress. Your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free. That's why everyone from GQ magazine to Forbes magazine are all talking about Helix Sleep. You have 100 nights to try it out. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you 100% refund. No questions asked. That mean that little stain? No questions asked about that stain. Go to helixsleep.com/rambler and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/rambler. helixsleep.com/rambler.
You want to get into some questions? We got a lot of new questions.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's give some.
Okay.
Hold on. Answering questions from the readers.
Okay, here we go. This one's from Shane Parker. It says, "What up, Hannibal? Psyched to have you in my weekly podcast rotation. Congratulations on the podcast."
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks.
Now, here's my question. My wife and I recently found out that I cannot impregnate her because I am sterile.
Uh-oh.
We are both 33, and we're planning on having kids soon. We were devastated. We broke the news to my parents, and a few days later, having dinner with them, my dad said that he'd offer his sperm for my wife so that we can have a kid with both of our genes. Then he winked and said, "We can do it the fun way if you want," and licked his lips. I'm disgusted by...
What?
I'm disgusted by my dad. My wife is beyond... I'm disgusted by my dad, and my wife is beyond creeped out. My dad is 74 and has never said anything creepy like this. I don't know what to do or if we should consider taking him up on the offer or if that would make my kid my sibling. What do you think? Thanks, Hannibal. Shane.
That's a good one, though.
Is that a real one?
That's a real one.
Is that a real one?
That's a real... The
details make it kind of...
The subject says, advice on dad being creepy to my wife.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, he's sterile. His dad offered his sperm. See, here's what I would wonder. I'm no biologist. I'm no urologist. I'm no OBGYN.
Mm-hmm.
But, does old dude sperm different?
I mean, sperm is sperm, man. If the sperm is there, the sperm works. It's more about the woman. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Because that's what I'm just going off of. It's obviously no scientific basis. There's no scientific basis in what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, this old ass dude. But I guess it doesn't matter. That's weird that he said that. But
we could do it the fun way if you want.
It's a pretty good joke.
It is a pretty good joke.
It's just weird because it's his pops.
Yeah.
I mean, if he said that, you know, depending on the spot which he said that in and what was said right before it, if it was right in the flow of conversation, if he just came up with that off the top, it's a pretty amazing joke. Maybe he'd been waiting for that moment for a while.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He said, my dad is 74, has never said anything creepy like this.
Hey, he saw an opportunity.
You know what? You need to...
He brought you into this world.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring another you into this world.
I think you're absolutely right, Hannibal. I think that he needs to appreciate his dad's sense of humor. Especially at the age of 74.
I mean, it's not even about the joke. I think hearing that had him kind of thinking, no, man, my dad... I mean, you know, you asked for your dad's help for some stuff. Hey, Dad, what's up? How do I fix this car? Hey, Dad, what do I say? Or, Dad, I'm at the bank. What is I ask for a mortgage rate? Or, Dad, I called my dad yesterday because I'm getting floors. I'm getting quotes on carpeting or floors for the building.
Yeah.
And so what are they supposed to charge me? And I told him the quote. And he said, if it's right around there, that sounds about fair.
Yeah.
Because I don't know shit about
Good dad advice.
That's good floors and carpeting.
Yeah.
Now, having your dad jizzing your woman to try to create another you, you know?
But here's the thing.
He's 74, so he's going to die soon, so he doesn't have to hear about it for a while.
Yeah, but he brings up another good point. He says, he's like, I don't know what to do or if we should consider taking him up on the offer or if that would make my kid my sibling. Because that is a good point. Technically, that's your brother. Like, your wife is giving birth to your brother.
Your son and your brother.
Yeah, man. I say no. I say don't do it. I'd say just do it.
See, this is how much people... This is how much we're into ourselves, man. You know, I gotta create something from this gene pool.
Yeah.
Gotta keep this bloodline going.
Yeah.
Not even considering adopting. You know, when you first started reading the letter... And he said he was sterile. I thought he was writing asking me to impregnate his wife.
The Handsome Rambler at gmail.com.
Go to the Handsome Rambler at gmail.com. If you want me to get your wife or significant other pregnant, I'll do it. Hit my agent. Would I do that? I would.
If it was a friend in need, I would do it.
But here's the thing, because you gotta hit those days, those particular ovulation days, because that's the thing. You kind of, if your friend is asking you,
I'd be honored.
You'd be honored, but you gotta. It don't always happen the first time.
Yeah. So you have to hit it a couple.
Then you just jizzing in that girl. Over and over again.
Yeah, so you'd have to jizz in her over and over. And it would probably take a few attempts.
Yeah. I don't know, I think most people would opt to they would pay to make that, to have it done unnaturally and inseminate it versus the future baggage that could accompany having one of your friends leave it in with the love of your life. Yeah, man. I don't know what to say to that. That's such a tough situation. That's a rough joke. It's a good joke. It didn't need to be said. It's not a necessary joke. It's a great joke.
I respect it. But, you know,
also, is his pops kind of...
That's 74? Maybe just no fucks given at this point?
It's not no fucks given. It's not just that. It's beyond that, being an old man. I think part of it, a big part of manhood is virility. Mm-hmm. And having the ability to help produce children and keep the species going.
Uh-huh.
And so his dad is kind of big timed him, you know?
Uh-huh.
Hey, I'll fuck your wife for you. Since you can't, little boy.
He said,
I'll bring some new...
So we could do it the fun way.
I'll bring some new life. Wait, is his mom still alive? Was his mom there?
I have no idea. I mean, they didn't put that part.
Yeah. Oh, if the mom was there and he made that joke.
Oh, she wouldn't be having it.
He didn't mention the mom, though. The mom.
That's a big part of the.
He didn't say my mom.
That's
said,
a big part of the equation. Yeah. I'm so guessing moms is gone or maybe they ain't together because, you know, moms would have stepped in and be like.
Hey, also, man, it's probably a weird convo around for mom to be a part of anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know, man.
I say, man, there's plenty of people to adopt in this world and just go adopt. Adopt a child.
Adopting is really nice and it's a noble thing to do.
And you're helping society.
You're helping society. It's a super noble thing to do.
It's good for your taxes.
But also, I get the thing of wanting to start from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, some people want theirs, you know, they want theirs brand new. Straight out the box. All right, well, that was the first episode. You're gonna figure it out. I'm thinking about, what if I did a podcast? What if I when I was traveling and I set up, I went on Tinder and then set up a time and place for a Tinder date to meet, and then they showed up and I say, hey, welcome to my podcast.
That'd be kind of funny. Actually, that'd be hilarious.
Maybe I'll do that for the next one.
I think we should do that.
Anyways, this has been the first episode of The Handsome Rambler. Thank you all for listening. Go to HannibalBurris.com/tour. I'm on the road. See me in your city. I think I'm coming to Toronto, Victoria, British Columbia, Calgary, D.C., NYC coming up. Rhode Island, so check me out. This was fun. I'm here.